The Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Did you recognize that first reading? What happened in it? There you go. I knew if I just waited long enough, I'd break down one person's hesitancy. Yes, a feeding of the throngs. Only it isn't Jesus, is it? Who was it? Nope, not in the first reading. Children? Wake up, who was it? That other guy, yeah, thank you, that's very helpful. It was Elisha, who was one of the great prophets of Israel. He was the one who took over from Elijah when Elijah was taken into heaven and his prophetic mantle fell to Elisha. And in this story, we get this feeding of a multitude. Did you catch how many people? How many? that, thou see, this is wonderful. For reasons I will explain in a moment. 5,000 was in the gospel. How many was it in that first reading? 100. 100. Okay, how many? See, you guys are going to have to learn to listen because I'm going to start quizzing you. How many loaves in that first story? Okay, I'll make it easy. I'll start with the gospel. How many in the gospel? How many loaves? Five. There you go. How many in the first one? 20. There you go. 20. It's interesting. And by the way, just a general note on the lectionary that we use for our readings. Most often, the gospel will be related in some way to the first reading. We can't always guarantee the second reading because Paul tends to kind of go off on weird flights of fancy. But the gospel and the first reading from the Old Testament are oftentimes thematically linked in some way. And the linkage, I think, this morning is very significant. When we talked about this in our brown bag Bible study, when we talked about the gospel story, the feeding of the 5,000, one of the first questions that came up was this a miracle? And because you pay me vast amounts of money, I said, I don't know. And I said, let's go back and look at the story. And nowhere in the story does it say it's a miracle. It does call it something. Did you catch that when it went by? What did it call this? There's actually four Greek words that get translated as miracle. But before I tell you about those, let me just start by asking you, what is a miracle? Don't worry, I'm not going to publicly shame you. What is a miracle? An event that can't be explained. An amazing deed. Actually, these are good answers. I think these get closer to the true nature of what a miracle is. Oftentimes, I think when we think of a miracle, what we think of is something supernatural. Something that happens that are beyond what human beings can do. And yet, even our own word miracle doesn't mean that. Our own word miracle comes from the Latin, which means a wonder. Something that makes us wonder. And those four Greek words I was talking about, one of them has to do with a powerful deed. One of them has to do with just a deed. One of them has to do with something that makes you wonder. And the other one has to do with something that is a sign of something, a portent, something that points to something else. And in today's gospel lesson that we heard, it's not referred to as a miracle, it's referred to as a sign. That fourth usage of the word. Well, what is it a sign of? Well, certainly, there seems to be a striking similarity in between our gospel story and the story that we got of Elisha. In both cases, you have someone who has some barley loaves. In both cases, you have a multitude who need to be fed. In both cases, there is doubt about whether this can possibly be enough. And in both cases, there is some left over. So it's probably a fairly good bet that these gospel writers who included this story, the feeding of the 5,000, knew about this story of Elisha and the feeding of the 100. So it might be helpful in understanding this feeding of the 5,000 to go back and look at that story of Elisha. One of the first questions perhaps worth asking is, what is this guy doing traipsing around the country with 20 loaves of barley and a sack full of fresh grain? When the Israelites first came into the promised land, When they had completed their wandering across the desert, their exodus, and they came into the promised land, they were commanded to observe a ritual thanksgiving. They were commanded, when the first harvest came in, to bring the first fruits of that harvest to a priest who would then bless them, and they would recite, they would make this ritual recitation as part of this thanksgiving. This ritual recitation began with, "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor." Looking back to the days of Jacob when they were homeless, when they had to live off whatever they could find as they wandered. But now they had come into this fertile land where they were able to settle, where they were able to raise crops. They saw this as a blessing from God. And that ritual recitation ended with the acknowledgement that because they had once been wanderers, they needed to take care of wanderers in their midst. As they had once been needy and slaves, they needed to take care of the needy and the slaves in their midst. That in order for them to be blessed in the land, they had to be a blessing to these most vulnerable ones. That first act of thanksgiving in the land became codified into an annual occurrence, which was known as the Feast of Weeks. Kind of like our Thanksgiving, it was a harvest festival in which they would once again bring their a tithe, their first fruits, and they would ask for God's blessing on the harvest and make that recitation again. Well, this man that Elijah meets is on his way to do that. He is bringing the first fruits of his harvest. But that ritual sacrifice of the tithe, let me back up one second. There's different kinds of sacrifice that can be made. For instance, there was something called the whole burnt offering. And when you did that, like let's say you brought a goat, you might take that goat, slaughter it, put it on the altar, and then the whole thing would be burned up. The idea being that in the burning up of it, it becomes kind of like food for God. And it's also a sacrifice on your part because you have lost that goat. But there's also the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which was different. You would bring that, you would give it to the priest. The priest might offer a little bit on the altar to God, but then the rest of it would be laid out in order to make a feast for the people to dine together. And by offering a bit to God, it would invite God to come down and be part of that feast. This Feast of Weeks was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So here this guy is, he's brought in his small representative of his harvest, with 20 loaves and a bag full of grain. And Elisha tells him, set the feast. Now, when you think about it, it isn't all that much of a stretch. He's got 20 loaves of barley. There's 100 people. That's five people to a loaf. So, yeah, I mean, you may not be getting a whole lot, but at least everyone would get a little, right? But the guy says, how can this possibly be enough for all these people? And yet, in the end, it is. It's enough, and there is some left over. Now we come to this gospel story. And it's almost as if we are looking at it through a magnifying lens, because it seems like everything is exaggerated from that story of Elisha. On the one hand, instead of 20 loaves of barley, there are only 5. Instead of a sack full of grain, there's just 3 fish. And instead of a man, it's just a boy. As if to raise the stakes. And you think, you know, hey, you think this was pretty miraculous? Now look what's about to happen. But once again, Jesus has the people sit down. He blesses this sacrifice, and it is not only enough, but extravagantly enough. Whereas in the Elisha story, he says, there was some left over. Here we get 12 baskets left over. Why 12? It is a magic number, but why is it magic? Huh? Well, you're on the right track. But no, not the apostles. Because of the 12 tribes of Israel. So in essence, what it's saying is, not only was there enough for this gathering here, but there was enough for all the people. For all the tribes of Israel. The miracle, the wonder of this, is not that Jesus somehow miraculously multiplies this food. The miracle is that it is miraculously enough. It is enough for this crowd. It is enough for the people. And it is a sign that points both backwards and forwards. It points backwards to this story of Elisha and the way that he addresses the sacrifice of thanksgiving and how it becomes enough. But it's also a sign that points forward, because the Messiah was the one who was to feed the people. He was to address their every hunger. Remember, right after Jesus was baptized and he was driven out into the wilderness where he met Satan, what was the first thing that Satan tried to tempt him with? He said, take these stones and turn them into bread. Yes, Jesus was hungry, but that also would have been a sign that he was the Messiah. If he could turn these stones into bread and feed the people, well, everyone would see he's the Messiah. Because they believed that at the end of time, the Messiah would set this great banquet at which everyone who was hungry could sit down and have enough and more. And now here Jesus is feeding the people with this little tiny bit, and it is enough and more. We who bear his name, we who are his latest disciples in world history, remember this story, and we who are hungry gather around a ridiculous feast of one little loaf of bread and one little cup of wine. And yet the early Christians recognize the connection between this feeding of the 5,000 and this act of communion that we do together. In fact, interestingly enough, if you go back and look at the early church, the earliest representations of communion, the paintings found down in the catacombs beneath Rome, show not bread and wine, but show bread and fish. They recognize that in this ridiculously small meal, we are fed, and there is enough and more. Indeed, all of the saints are fed, and there is enough and more. And that this wonder, this power, this sign, this miracle continues to take place every time we bring the little that we have for the sake of the vulnerable, for the sake of the alien, for the sake of the displaced. It may not seem like much to us, but by God's will and by God's word, it becomes enough and more. Amen.